T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Still can't decide, am I getting the red Harper t-shirt jersey or am I getting the blue? I may have to get both. Look, you heard it on the show, as I've told you all the time. I was preferring, I thought Manny Machado was the better choice, the better player. But it's like getting the blue bike instead of the red bike on Christmas morning, what the Phillies got yesterday. Scott Lauber covers the Phillies for the Inquirer and the Daily News at Philly.com, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show. Scott, Harper or Machado, before free agency began, as a fit for the Phillies, which one did you personally prefer?
Well, I mean, look, I think that there were cases to be made for both, as you just said. You know, it's the blue bike or the red bike. I looked at it as Machado being probably the better all-around player, the defense in conjunction with the offense. You know, he's a good shortstop. He's an elite third baseman. And, you know, that would have been, I think, a lot of people's preference. In fact, I think there were a lot of people in the Phillies organization and baseball operations who were probably thinking along those lines. They pursued Machado very, very aggressively at the All-Star break last year, probably made as good an offer as they could have to get him. The Orioles preferred the Dodgers offer instead. But, you know, I'm told that was a pretty strong offer that they made. Now, you know, I looked at Harper and I saw a left-handed hitter in a very right-handed lineup and felt like he was a fit in that way. He also fits in a lot of ways with their offensive philosophy, which is to see a lot of pitches, to be patient, to draw walks, to get on base, and at the end of a lot of those long at-bats, to hit the ball over the fence. That's something that Gabe Kapler and John Mailey, the hitting coach, have preached since they've been here. So I saw the benefits of either player. I'm kind of like, you know, Machado was the better all-around player, but I'm not sure Harper wasn't the better fit given what their lineup needs were.
Tell me about your thoughts on Gabe Kapler, because all I saw last year, and again, you're with that team every day, you're noticing what they do. When I saw Gabe Kapler, I saw a guy who overmanaged. And every day, even as a Phillies fan, I'm watching on the satellite, and down here I get to watch a guy like Brian Snitker in Atlanta who overachieved with a young team by purposefully not overmanaging. How's it going to change?
I think that's definitely a fair criticism of Kapler's, and certainly an opinion that a lot of Phillies fans share, is that he did at times overmanage, try to kind of get a little too in his own way. I would say that's fair, but I would also say that a lot of the things he did, he kind of had to do. They had an amazingly imperfect team last year. And when you think about how many days they spent in first place, I mean, there was a reason why most of us were like, we're not really buying in, because they were a very, very flawed team. And, you know, Kapler told me pretty recently, we were talking about some of the moving parts in that lineup last year and some of the things he did. And I think he felt like in order to bring out the best in that team, there were some things he had to do. He had to maneuver the lineup the way he did. He had to do some things that were perceived as unconventional and unorthodox and eyebrow-raising. And I think you're going to see a very different approach, at least with his everyday lineup this year. The players that they added between Harper, JT Realmuto, Gene Segura, Andrew McCutchen, added to the group of Rhys Hoskins and the other returning players, I think you're going to see a much more static lineup. I don't think he's going to do nearly as much moving around and juggling and shifting. Now, you know, he's talked about there being a competition for at-bats in center field and at third base. I don't really buy it. I think that Odubel Herrera, as long as he's healthy, is their center fielder, and I think Michael Franco, as long as he's healthy and at least somewhat productive, is their most of the time third baseman. Scott Kingery is going to move around and play a lot of different positions. But for the most part, the lineup is what it is, and I think you're going to see Kapler be a lot more or look a lot more conventional, at least in terms of how he manages his lineup. Now, he manages his bullpen the way he manages his bullpen, and he doesn't like the traditional closer, and he kind of doesn't really like locking guys into roles out there. I don't think that's going to change. And, you know, I think it's possible that, you know, rotation-wise, you could see some funky things if they decide that, you know, an opener is the way to go at some point during the year. I could see them turning to that. But I think, and I don't think they feel that way right now. I think they're confident in their five guys. But if somebody gets hurt or whatnot, I think they're open to doing some things like that that are outside the box. But I think lineup-wise, you're going to see a much more conventional Gabe Kapler, because I think now he has the personnel where he can run the same lineup out there on most nights and feel pretty good about it.
If I gave you, I made a prediction earlier on in the show, from a 1 to 10 basis that this could happen. I see the top four teams in the National League East being separated by five games at Labor Day. Is that inconceivable from what you've seen of this offseason? Do you think one or two teams are head and shoulders above the rest?
No, I really don't. I think that's very conceivable. I mean, Phillies fans, of course, are over the moon right now about Bryce Harper and the other moves that the team has made. They spent almost $500 million this offseason between Harper, Realmuto, who doesn't really cost a whole lot, McCutcheon, Robertson, Segura, all the guys I mentioned. It all adds up to about $500 million, $500 million. They're thrilled with the additions that they've made. But I bet if you go to Washington right now, they're going to tell you how much better they are with Patrick Corbin and some of the other moves that they've made this offseason. I'm sure if you go to Atlanta, they're thrilled with some of the things that they've done to the team that that won the division last year. I know they feel good in New York. I know Brody Van Wagenen feels good, really good, about the things that he's done, even if they weren't sort of obvious moves to everyone at the time. The Cano trade, getting Edwin Diaz, the stud closer in that trade. Jed Lowry, who I know is injured but is a productive hitter when he's healthy. I mean, so they're pretty happy with what they've done. So, you know, while I hear mostly from Phillies fans about how much better they think the Phillies are going to be, I'm sure that people in those other markets are feeling the same way about their teams. And I do. I think it's going to be a very competitive division this year, probably the best division in baseball. And you're going to have four teams that are, you know, the Braves won the division last year with 90 wins. It's going to take well more than 90, I think, to win the division this year. And it's conceivable that the third place team wins 90 and doesn't make the playoffs. So I'm buying that it's a strong division, and I'm buying that there are four teams that are pretty serious about wanting to win the division.
Biggest weakness that the Phillies have coming into the year, even after getting Harper and Realmuto and Segura, biggest weakness that they need to fix?
Biggest question for me, without a doubt, is the starting rotation. You know, I was somebody who felt going into the offseason like, of all the things they needed to do, and they needed help in a lot of areas, that starting rotation was one of them. And that's the one area of the team that they didn't touch. The starting five going into the season is going to be the same starting five they ended last year with: Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, and Vince Velasquez. And those last three guys in particular, Pivetta, Velasquez, and Eflin, are all young pitchers in their mid-20s, and the Phillies believe that all three of them are going to continue to get better. But we know, we've seen enough baseball, and we know that development, especially in pitching, is not always linear. Just because those guys took steps forward last year does not mean all three of them will take steps forward this year. They went hard after Patrick Corbin. They wanted him badly. They didn't get him. He went to the Nationals. They did make an attempt at Jay Happ, but I think it was sort of a one foot in, one foot out kind of attempt on him. And then after he re-signed with the Yankees, They looked at just about everybody else on the free agent market, including Dallas Keuchel, who's still out there, and they kind of were like, eh, you know, it's not a real upgrade over what we have. Well, I think that's debatable, and Keuchel is, as I said, still out there. It would be interesting to me if he gets to the point where he's willing to take a one-year deal, whether the Phillies jump in and try to grab him, because for a year he could certainly help their rotation. For 2 years, he could certainly help their rotation. But for me, there are still three big question marks at the back end of it: Pivetta, Eflin, and Velasquez, and what those guys do and whether they can count on those guys. They were all good for the first half of last year. They all struggled down the stretch like the rest of the team did. And I think that that's certainly the question facing the Phillies now with this lineup that, you know, it's not the best lineup in the National League. It's got to be right up there. And a bullpen that looks pretty good. What are they going to get out of their starting rotation?
Catch his work in the Inquirer, the Daily News, and Philly.com. Scott, I appreciate your time today. Scott Lauber, you did a great job. Thanks, man.
Sure, anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.